ask that you turn to Psalm 32. This will be a scripture and our passage for this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed are the forgiven, a maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, it is again by your grace and mercy, as well as your good and holy will, that we can be here to gather, to sing hymns, to pray with one another, Lord, even to hear from you. And so we ask for your help, that as we consider this psalm, as we consider the good work of redemption that you, Heavenly Father, have set forth before the foundation of the world, that we, the saints, would hear the glorious gospel, that we would hear of your goodness and your faithfulness to those whom you have loved and saved. And so we ask that you would open our ears, that we may hear, that we may see you as you, O Lord, have presented yourself to the world. And we ask, O Lord, that which ails us, that is our sin, Lord, that we may understand and know that we have been forgiven, and grace indeed is upon those who've trusted in you. And I pray these things, trusting and believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, I would hope that even as we read that psalm so quickly, that it is apparent to us of God's goodness in dealing with our sin, that he alone is the one who has power to forgive sin, to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Indeed, sin is a reality we are all acquainted with and familiar with. Sin is all we have known since we were born, and is part of who we are. We have been born in iniquity, and we are surrounded by it. Our own forethought or sight is veiled and marred and marked by sin. The reality of our existence in this world consists of our living in, dealing, and struggling with sin. We are devastated by it, and sorrows have been brought upon us because of it. David dealt with sin and struggle with it as we do. His words indeed are to resonate with us. And perhaps we will see God's goodness and faithfulness through the words of his servant. There is hope offered in this psalm, and this hope is abiding, for it rests upon God's mercy and grace for those who trust in him. What a blessed thing. In this psalm of David, we find him giving thanks to God for the forgiveness of sins. David recounts the blessings the righteous have received from God's steadfast love manifested in him by covering their transgression. Those who have trusted in the Lord are also those who have been forgiven. They shall not hide their sins, but instead will confess them unto the Lord freely, and he will preserve the righteous, granting them joy. At the conclusion of the psalm, David contrasts the many sorrows of the wicked with the abiding joy of the righteous. Blessed are the forgiven. Verses 1 and 2, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. David begins the psalm with the proclamation that the blessed are those who have been forgiven, whose sin is covered, and whose sins are not counted or imputed upon them. Such is the thing that the Lord has done, that no man, and I can tell you and affirm to you, it is unimaginable. Like I said, all we've known is sin. It is what we have been born in. And here we have David, and he starts by exclaiming, blessed. What is this blessedness? It is the forgiveness of sins. It is the covering of our iniquity. It is the Lord not counting our transgressions against us. In these short verses, David highlights the very mercy and kindness of God towards those whom he has deemed righteous. Indeed, it is only the righteous that are blessed in this manner, and it is not a work that they themselves do. Rather, it is what the Lord has done to and for them. The Lord is active. He works. He does the forgiving. He covers the sin. And he does not count transgressions against those whom he has forgiven. In addition, the recipients of God's mercy are changed. At the end of the second verse, David says, in whose spirit there is no deceit. How can this be? We are told in the scriptures that the heart, the very heart, is deceitful. We are full of iniquity, and yet here David said, those who are blessed have no deceit in them. Indeed, they are changed. This is the power of God upon the sinner. Their desire is not to commit treachery, for their very spirit is made righteous by God. My friends, true blessedness is not found in any earthly treasure or worldly endeavor, or anything we would aspire to in this life. The psalmist tells us what true blessedness is, and it has to do with God forgiving us of our sins and reconciling us to himself. We are made his. It continues on in verses 3 through 5. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David gives an account of a time when he kept silent about his sin and did not confess it. In his attempt to hide sin, he suffered both in conscience and physical. He describes in quite vivid imagery, saying that his body wasted away, his strength was dried up. Such was his agony and guilt because of his refusal to confess his sin, and that it seemed that the hand of the Lord was heavy upon him day and night, he says. That should sound familiar to us. That should sound as if something like this has happened, perhaps is happening right now to us. We may be going through that this very morning. And we will see as we consider this word of why that is and what has happened to anyone, any sinner who's been loved and saved by God. Friends, David is describing an occasion of unrepentant sin, and he gives an account of the sorrow that consumed his whole person. I delight in reading the Psalms because of the words and the images and the metaphors that are contained within. There are words in these texts that will describe what we are perhaps feeling, going through, enduring, and it is scripture. It is what the Lord has given to us. You could even say it is a blessedness that the Lord has given us a servant like David who went through things like these so that the righteous could see it is not uncommon nor unusual to struggle and endure sin. The Lord's chastisement was upon David. Indeed, in this small section, David is describing the same sin in reality. His sins are covered. Yes, they are. And his transgressions forgiven. However, at the same time, he struggles with and battles against sin in his flesh. That body of death surrounds David. It's still with him. Even though he has received complete forgiveness from God. What then? What can David do in this situation? He tells us in the fifth verse, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. He must confess his sin unto the Lord. He must go to the one who is able to forgive him, whom he knows is able to forgive him. The blessedness that I described at the start of this psalm is abiding, for the Lord does not depart from those whom he has loved. And David understands this. David can confess his sins to God because he is already forgiven. It is purely the grace of God that is being described to us by David. And this grace will not allow him to persist in deceit or treachery. The love of God for his servant is evident, such that he will not leave him in the depths of sin and despair, but by his abiding hand, he brought David to repentance and forgave him of his present sins. The righteous, whose sins are covered and whose transgressions are not counted against them, confess their sins and cannot make a practice of sinning. Let us consider 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1. You can turn there if you wish. beginning in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Again, in chapter 3, the apostle says, little children, let no one, beginning in verse 7, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Think about that. Let that rest upon your minds and find peace in it. For this is what the Lord has wrought for those whom he has loved. And David continues on in verse 6 and 7. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me, his people. David is giving the godly encouragement here. And he tells them, pray. Pray to God. Confess your sins to him. Why? They can do so freely. For God has presented himself to them for their salvation and remission of sins. Indeed, the Lord is the hiding place, preserver, and deliverer of the righteous. This is the blessedness that God gives to the godly. And as David concludes this psalm, he continues on by saying, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. David turns to the congregation of Israel and he instructs them to heed his instruction. He has received forgiveness from God and has learned to trust God for pardon from his own sin. Moreover, David has understood that he is powerless to overcome his own sin or the sins of Israel. And thus, he must acknowledge and confess it to God. The way in which David is counseling Israel to follow is that way of righteousness. This way is the one which the Lord gives in his covenants to those whom he has come to. And this way is good and upright. And to live contrary to this is to persist in iniquity and sin. To be as one who lacks understanding, following your own passions, becoming a fool, acting like a horse or a mule that must be curbed with bit and bridle. The debasement that is described there of a reasonable creature is that which sin turns us into a beast. In his plea, David also gives a warning that for the wicked, there is only sorrow. Sin only leads to misery And as such, the wicked will ultimately end up in everlasting sorrow. We hear the words of the psalmist in Psalm 11, verses 5 through 6, where he says, "The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur, and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. Likewise, the wrath of the Lord is kindled against the wicked, and evil cannot dwell with him." Psalm 5. "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." Therefore we see that God is holy, and he will certainly uphold his holiness by punishing the wicked. Such great sorrow indeed for the sinner, the one who persists in deceit and treachery, the one who is like the horse or mule. At the same time, God's plan of redemption shall not be thwarted by the sin of mankind. God is well pleased to save some, and he alone provides the means to accomplish this salvation. Since God has presented his grace to the righteous, they can be confident and know that the steadfast love of God is with them. They will certainly have joy and will be truly blessed, for sin is overcome by God, and it is he who remains faithful to them. Brothers and sisters, this psalm is full of the gospel. And I would hope that as we were considering it in that manner, you could hear and see the salvation that God has given through his Son. The grace and mercy of God towards sinners is emphasized through each verse. And there can be no mistake that the redemption that the Lord provides and reveals in the Old Testament age, that is abiding. It is set. There is a promise here that comes through the lips of David. The psalmist is quick to emphasize the work of the Lord in salvation. God is the one who forgives sins and covers it. It is he who is faithful and abides with the righteous despite their transgressions. My friends, it is the Lord who is steadfast. David trusted not in a God who would fail him or leave him, not in a God who was, can be, controlled or acted upon by the sins of man. The Lord is unchanging. David is banking on that. He is trusting in this God who will not remit his forgiveness once he's given it. The grace of God is blessedness for the sinner, and all of this comes from heaven to those who are tainted and marked by iniquity. David in this psalm demonstrates to us that the power to overcome sin belongs to God, and that he on all the saints in Israel simply trust and believe God. They have faith in God. It is not David who is active in removing his own sins or the sins of Israel. Rather, he has been made aware of the sin that resides within him and is able to confess it. He is humble and granted occasion to repent and seek forgiveness for the sins that the Lord reveals in him. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity, he says. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. That is a spirit that has changed. The sinner does not delight in iniquity any longer. Why? He has been made righteous. Brothers and sisters, David is not saved because of any of his works. Rather, he has been counted as righteous and justified by God, as told us in Romans 4. 4 through 8, if you'll turn there, please. Romans 4, 4 through 8. And I read, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." Since the redemption, the work of redemption could not be accomplished by sinful man, it pleased God to present his Son Jesus Christ. At the right time, Christ came in the flesh to accomplish the necessary work of salvation. Christ is the light and savior of the world. He fulfilled all the law, and by his obedience, he brought life. Speaking of the second Adam, Paul bears witness to the following in Romans 5. "But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift," hear this, "the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." Verse 18, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." God, in his divine and holy will, put forth his Son as the only propitiation for the sins of the world. Through Christ, God is just and the justifier for those who have believed in the Son. The scriptures also reveal that the redemption brought by Christ is a gift of God and his grace. My friends, we have heard from the psalmist these very things as he exalts God for his grace toward him and the righteous in Israel. The iniquity, the sins, they are covered, they are forgiven. They can pray to God and they will receive forgiveness. The Lord's chastisement is good for the righteous one. Why? Because God gives relief. He provides relief. And he pardons those sins. The promise of God to save sinners was being revealed through David, and this promise has been fulfilled with the coming of Christ. Indeed, all of David's hope for salvation is fulfilled in the Son. The trust in God that David exemplified was made complete by the work of Christ. One man's obedience made many righteous. The Lord Jesus is the only Savior, the only Savior of the world. And God's love has been made known, for while we were dead in our trespasses, Christ died for us. Do not forget this, my friends. Do not look upon our Lord and think of these things as simply being. The Lord has worked. He worked before the foundation of the world. He set forth in His divine will in the Godhead. And He set forth this, that He will redeem a people for Himself. Sin could not derail it. Sin could not overcome the power of God's grace and mercy to dust. It is true that those who have faith in Christ receive every spiritual blessing through and from Him. Through Christ, we have been reconciled to God. Through the blood of Christ, we have been justified. Through Christ, dear brethren, we have a mediator in heaven interceding on our behalf. Christ has done the work. He's seated at the right hand of God. And He looks upon us. And He is saying, yes, they are mine. Their sins are forgiven. Through Christ, we have an eternal redemption. Never, never shall we suffer the wrath reserved for sinners. For those who have been united to Christ have had all His righteousness applied to them. The light of Christ has overcome our darkness, and we now have access to the throne of grace, where we can bring all our sins to God and confess them freely. His Spirit works in each saint to bring forth faith and obedience, that we are able to despise the very darkness that Christ had to endure on our behalf. This is the life that God has wrought in the sinner. We are being sanctified by the Word and Spirit, and sin no longer has victory over us. Dear brothers and sisters, we can affirm and agree with David as he proclaims in the Psalm, saying, blessed are we whose sins are forgiven. Blessed are we whose sins are covered. Blessed are we against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Such grace has been wrought in time by God and revealed to us who are, as I said before, dust. Who is man that you are mindful of him? Well, the Lord is mindful of us. He loves us. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul as he describes the blessings we have received in Christ, Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. The story of redemption has been made known. God's plan of salvation has been made known and clear. Christ indeed came, and he lived, and he fulfilled all righteousness. And by his obedience, by his sacrifice, by his blood, those of us who were once far off have been brought near. We have full, not partial, full pardon from our sins. And God, in his mercy, has blessed every single saint with his Spirit and his Word. We are not left no longer to our own devices, so much so that we are termed as new creatures. We no longer act according to the darkness that we once reveled in. We no longer persist in that way of unrighteousness. And though we struggle and fight sin now, and that the fall still remains, remember, the Lord has already been victorious. He has overcome it. And so this gospel comes to us, and we hear it. And the Lord enables us to believe his glorious work on our behalf. And it is a blessedness that creatures such as we, who have reviled him from the moment we entered this world, would find his law to be good. That we would find him to be gracious and loving and faithful. That his holiness would humble us. No longer would we be conceited and be fools, acting and following our own passions. How glorious is the redemption that God has worked and made known to us who are but dust. So there can only be one response to such love and goodness from God. As David says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Rejoice, brothers and sisters. This is what God has accomplished for those whom he loves. Having trusted and believed all that the Lord has done, we are able to sing and proclaim words such as these. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Rest in Christ, dear brethren, knowing that he who began a good work in you will surely complete it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I trust that even in considering this psalm, we have seen the excellencies of your righteousness and your holiness and your grace and your mercy. That we have received something of great value, something which our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to the world at his coming, and that the Son of Man did come to save sinners, to love them. He did so humbly, he did so willingly, he did so completely. And as he, O Lord, set forth before the foundational world with you, making that covenant of redemption, indeed now we rejoice having received that which you've given to us. We have life through Christ, and in him we have abiding forgiveness. We also have everlasting joy. And though now we see in part because of the sin which clings so closely, Lord, we know that this body of death will pass away and sin will no longer cling to us. We shall be free, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will and is bringing us home. And so now we can trust that we have everything necessary for salvation. Your Spirit works in us daily, moment by moment, transforming us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now there indeed is no condemnation for those who have believed in him. And so we pray, trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ.